Everyone, and welcome to minute 11 of season 10 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Derek McDuff of the Underrated Podcast. Welcome back this season, Derek.
Hey, it's good to be back. Excited to be talking about this one here with you today.
Yeah, well, finally, I'm giving you a movie to talk about that's a little more enjoyable than the last.
Yeah, significantly, I would say more enjoyable than Die Hard 4.
Five, right?
Yes.
You don't even remember.
Right. There's a bunch of Die Hard sequels of diminishing returns.
Yes. Exactly. Okay, so why don't you start off by telling everyone what's your history with this movie?
My history with this movie is that I watched it for the first time a week ago because I had actually never seen this film. I remember the remake with Denzel came out when I was in high school, and that was my first time really being aware of it because I saw the previews for it. My dad was like, "Hey, that's actually a remake of this really good movie." I was like, okay, cool. And then it kind of was always on my list to watch, but I never really got around to it. So I'm glad that you finally gave me a reason to visit this movie.
All right. I'm glad that I did too. Have you seen the Denzel one, or you haven't seen that one?
I have not seen the Denzel one, it's interesting.
You're not missing anything.
Okay, because it's funny because I kept watching this movie and I was like, man, this is giving me some Tony Scott vibes, you know? And then I was like, oh, well, he did the remake. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe it was subliminal that you thought about that, you know?
I think it might be because of that movie Unstoppable too. Is a lot like it gave me a lot of those vibes, and that's I think it's Tony Scott's last movie.
Pelham the last movie that he was in that he made.
I think it was Unstoppable. I want to say Unstoppable was 2011 and Pelham was 2009, but yeah. I might be wrong.
No, okay. But Pelham was definitely 2009. That I know. I'm trying to remember if Tony Scott did anything else after that. Maybe I think you might be right that Unstoppable was his final. Right. He passed away in 2012, and his last movie was Unstoppable. Yeah.
There you go. Still got it.
Yeah. Unstoppable I like much better than his version of Pal. So
fair enough. Yeah, I considered watching it for this podcast, but was like, I don't need to, I don't think.
Yeah, you could have. It's there are previous and future guests that have seen the two remakes, or either of the two remakes.
There's a TV one too,
yeah,
right?
A TV remake from 1998. Which with Edward James Olmos, which again,
in the math out part,
yeah,
okay.
So I mean, there's some good stuff there too, but again, neither of them, even if you were to put the two together, it doesn't come close to being as amazing as this movie was. So what was your impression of seeing this for the very first time?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. This it felt like a classic, just movie from that era, you know, like this, like 70 or mid 70s movie, with just like a lot of, set up and talking, but there's always like propulsive action. And there's all these two characters who are talking, they don't really meet till the very end. So I dug it. I really was impressed by it. Some really good performances. I'm a big Robert Shaw fan. So it was really cool to see, him in this role. And yeah, I am not really a New York guy, but I thought this movie captured New York really well.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we'll wait till Friday to find out what you really think about New York.
Yeah.
but we'll see until then. All right. Excellent. So minute 11 begins with the guest being introduced and ends with Garber repeating himself. So we ended things yesterday with Garber being, interrupted from just sitting there waiting, by the secretary. And I only found this out over the weekend because, I didn't mention it on last week's thing. The secretary or the woman who's hands him the piece of paper, telling him that they're waiting for him. That's actually Walter Matthau's niece that has like a little bit part.
Interesting.
She's not listed on IMDb, which was really weird. I didn't see her listed on IMDb, and her name is like really strangely spelled also, because it is a Matthau, but it's spelled slightly differently, which is weird. I was expecting something else there. Right, her name is Michelle Matthau, Matthow, and
Interesting. That's
she's listed as the TA receptionist, the transit authority receptionist.
okay.
But
All right.
last week
Well,
we didn't figure it out, so I'm glad that I figured that out here. And she actually only has two IMDb credits, one in this movie, and then she's a wedding guest in The Odd Couple too.
okay. All right. So just, it seems like one of those things. I know sometimes, somebody's on set, maybe visiting their uncle or something like that, I guess, and it's like, oh yeah, throw and she can do a little acting, let's have her say these couple lines.
That's right. Yeah, that's very interesting. So again, he's standing there and he's being introduced to these four Asian men. And the woman who's there, who's introducing him, says, "May I present to you Mr. Yashimuro?" And Yashimuro says something in Japanese to him, and he goes, "Mr. Matsumoto," and he bows and says something in I'm assuming he just says hello also, Mr. Matsumoto, and then he goes, "Mr. Tomoshita," and he also mumbles something in Japanese and bows to him, and he goes, "And Mr. Naka," he goes, "Nakabashi," he goes, "Naka Nakabashi," and then she says, "These gentlemen are all directors of the Tokyo Metropolitan Subway System, and gentlemen, I'd like you to meet Lieutenant Zachary Garber of our own New York Transit Authority Police." So, I mean, for me, this is I've always loved this introduction, and also the way that he is going over the next during the course of this week, he'll begin his little tour, and next week he continues with it and stuff like that, which will give us a few little surprises, along the way. But when you're looking at a movie minute by minute, you're trying to figure out what the hell is going on here, because this. Like, what is Garber's job? Is Garber, if he's in charge of, he's a cop who's in charge of the switchboard or whatever it is, dealing with stuff. So why is he giving tours to people? Is he like cop slash tour guide or something like that? It's a very strange concept that he's the one giving the tour. I mean, I'm aware of the fact that okay, these are high level executives, but still. You don't necessarily need to have your top cop give them the tour of the transit authority.
Yeah, the way I took it is he's like kind of like one of the main guys with like in the cops that deal with the subway system. And so since these diplomats, whatever you might want to call them, are people who would be dealing with the subway system, they're like, okay, well, we gotta get our best guy to talk about the subway. Because when I think of subways, there's like you told me what are the two best subway systems in the world? I'd probably say I don't know, probably like New York and Tokyo. So it makes sense that they're like he's giving them the tour. I don't know how good Tokyo's subway was in the 70s, but it makes sense that he's the guy who's like, all right, I'm gonna show you the ropes. I'm gonna show you like everything that the nervous system of the subway thing. Because I mean, it seems to me like that's his main thing that he's like liaisoning is taking care of crime on the subways. Because as he goes over, I think in a later minute that there is quite a bit of crime that
Yes,
happens on the subway.
there is. Yes, we will get a full list later in the week of all the different things
Yeah.
that. So the name Zachary, do you have any idea what Zachary means? Like, what's the?
I do not.
Okay, so Zachary, it's a biblical name that means remembered by God.
Okay.
That God seemed to remember, and so I mean the full name is obviously Zechariah, and Zachary is short for that. You also have Zach.
I did know that much, that it was from the Bible and it was short for Zechariah, or it's a biblical name, I should say.
Right. And I mean there's different ways of spelling Zach itself. You have Z-A-C-K, Z-A-C-H, Z-A-K, Z-A-C. There's been a lot of people, a lot of famous people that have been named Zachary over the years. There was even a pope named Pope Zachary.
Pope Zach. That's yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That seems just kind of weird to me. It's almost like, hey, we've got our American Pope from Chicago. Like it's like kind of like, all right, that's interesting.
That's right. Again, I mean, he was Pope in the early 700s, or mid 700s. He was Pope from 741 to 752. So, that makes it even sound stranger that there was a
Yeah.
Zachary back then,
Because Pope Zach sounds like he'd be out there skateboarding or something, you know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. And there are actually I found three famous Zachary Taylors. Have you ever heard the name
Okay.
Zachary Taylor before?
I feel like I probably have. That seems like a somewhat common name.
No, but I'm saying a famous Zachary Taylors.
Yeah, I mean,
Okay,
probably. Hit me up with him and see if I recognize any of
well,
them.
the first one who was president, he was the 12th president.
That's the one. Zachary, I was like, that's like a name that I know from something. He's one of them forgettable presidents in like the teens or something, right?
He was the 12th president, and
Okay, right
he's
before
the one
teens,
who
yeah.
died that everyone thinks was possibly poisoned, but they exhumed his body in the 90s and proved that he wasn't poisoned, and that.
Was he the one who lived for like a was president for like a month
No, no, no. That
because
was
he went out and
William Henry Harrison.
Okay,
That was
right.
a decade earlier.
Okay,
Yeah.
all right.
There's a Tennessee politician who was named Zachary Taylor, who was a U.S. representative who passed away in 1921. So again, we're going really far back as to when that was. And there is actually also a baseball player named Zachary Taylor, from the early days of baseball. He was
Okay.
a he played for the Baltimore Canaries back in the 1880s and stuff like that.
All right. That's yeah. Not familiar with those
Okay.
guys as it was as much as the president.
Okay, I that's fine. Right. I mean, those are the main ones. I mean, you have Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell. If you want to talk about So yeah, and then
There's also, I was gonna say, there's also Zach from the Power Rangers. You know, if
yes,
we're talking about shows from the early 90s,
that's
you know,
right.
that was, I think, my first introduction to the name
Right,
Zach because I'm of
I'm
that
not much of
age.
a Power Ranger fan, but yes, there is, and his name is Zachary Taylor also.
Is it really?
Yes, there you
Wow.
go. So now we have four Zachary Taylors that we talked about today.
Amazing.
Exactly, and then you have the last name Garber. Have you ever where have you heard do you know people with that last name? Have you heard of that last name before?
I mean, it's definitely a name I've encountered, but I can't think of any like acquaintances that I have that have that
Right.
name.
So the only Garber that really jumps out for me is the actor Victor Garber,
Right.
who who's been in a lot of things. I mean, he was in Titanic, he was in Sleepless in
The
Seattle.
Dead on
Yeah,
Alias.
that's right. Yeah, so I mean, he's been a lot of things over the years.
Yeah, he's a that guy, you know, he's a good
Yeah,
character actor.
definitely. Yeah, so those are the he's the main Garber that that I saw on this
Yeah.
list. I wasn't able to figure out what the name Garber means, so
All right.
don't really know about that. And at this point, Garber then continues with his little tour. And he goes, "A pleasure, gentlemen." And then she says to him, she says, "Well, listen, when you're finished with them, send them up to 13, because the chairman would like to say goodbye to them personally, okay?" And then she turns to these Japanese men and goes, "Sayonara," and they all laugh as she leaves. And then he tries to get them to follow him, and he goes, "Follow me, gentlemen, please." And he starts giving his spiel as to the whole thing about it. He goes, "Well, the New York subway system is the largest in the world with 237 miles of track, 7,000." And then he sees they're not really paying attention. And then he goes, "Gentlemen, please." And then he starts again. He goes, "New York City subway is the largest in the world, 7,000 cars, 237 miles of track." And then he gets cut off by the end of the minute. So,
Yeah.
again, he I for some reason just don't understand. I know I've mentioned this before. I don't understand why he's the tour guide. It just doesn't fit in here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess who else are you gonna get? Jerry Stiller's not gonna do it, that's for sure.
Well, again, we'll see about Rico a little later in the week. Rico's getting annoyed that they're bothering him from reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so he
Yeah.
mentions that there is 237 miles of track. Okay. How many miles do you think the current New York subway system has?
I'll say it's doubled since then. I'll say 400 miles of
It's
track.
actually tripled, or nearly tripled. There's
Oh.
665 miles of track.
Wow, look at that. What one short of being very spooky.
Exactly. But yeah, maybe they just, on purpose decided that they're not going to give another one.
Yeah. They're like, just round down, guys.
That's right. And how many cities do you think around the world have a subway system?
Ooh, that's a good, because there's only like what f there's like five or six in the entire US, but I feel like they're much more prevalent other places. So I'm gonna say 15.
There are 204 cities
US just okay. All right, 204. I'm way
in
low.
64 different countries, and there are 920 metro lines all around the world.
All right.
So when do you think the first underground railway was created? And again, we're not talking about Harriet Tubman.
Right. I feel like Nicolas Cage would know this in National Treasure. I'm gonna say 1897.
1863. Yeah, but you got the right
Okay.
century, so there you go.
Yeah,
No,
there you go, in the
but once
ballpark.
again, you're sort of right, because in 1863 that was when the London Underground first opened. But they
Okay.
only opened the first electrified underground line in 1890. So you
Okay,
see,
all right,
we're
all
very
right.
close there.
Yeah.
Right. And then in 1896, the Budapest Millennium Underground Railway was opened, and that was the very first electric underground railway specifically designed for urban transportation. And it's still in operation today. So we're talking, was it 130 years? 100, yeah, almost 130 years. That's amazing.
That's pretty cool. I love stuff like that where you can just go and be like, yeah, we're doing the same thing that people were doing, you know, that my great great grandfather could have done or whatever.
Exactly. Okay, so where do you think is the longest railroad system in the world?
I'm gonna say Japan.
Nope, it's in China. It's the Shanghai Metro.
That makes a lot more sense. China is a lot bigger than
Yes.
Japan, so
And
that makes a lot of
how
sense.
long do you think the network, the metro network is? Like how many, you could say miles, kilometers, whichever one you prefer.
Well, because we know that there's what si said 600 miles in New York alone, so in so I'm like gotta expand that out to like a whole. You said that for China, right? That we're figuring out here.
No, but
Oof.
again,
I'm gonna
this is just
say,
the Shanghai Metro.
oh, just the Shanghai Metro. Okay. I'm gonna say 20,000 miles. I don't know.
No, 800, 800,
800.
sorry,
Okay. All right. I was
808
just like,
kilometers, 502 miles. So,
okay. All right.
okay, and it is
Wait.
the busiest, it's the world's longest metro network, and it's also the busiest because it has the highest annual ridership, which reaches approximately 2.83 billion people a year.
Okay. So wait, it's 500 miles, but I thought you said that New York was 665 miles. Or wait, that wouldn't make sense. What am I, okay, never mind. Throw all that out. I'm six today. I'm like Mr. Green, so if I'm not making sense, that's why, guys.
No, the first of all, Garber talked about that there's 237 miles of track. Now they have 665 miles of track, which includes you know, parts that are not used for the Metro itself. So I wasn't clear about that
Okay,
before.
all right. That's what threw me off, because I was like, well, it's got to be more than 600. I was like, if it's way more than that, what's it going to be? So that makes a lot more sense. I was like, that seems like a whole lot. I'm just going to have to go real big.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
From what I understand, the New York is the second longest. So, yeah, it's not that
All
much.
Right, that checks out. That makes sense.
The Beijing subway has the greatest number of stations with 424 stations. I mean, that just baffles the mind that you have to try to remember what stop you have to get off at. You know, if there's 424.
Yeah.
And China has the most metro systems out of the, you know, the 920 that we talked about. Okay, so 54 of them are in China.
Okay, wow. All right, that's a lot. That is a lot. But I mean, China's a big, very populous country, yes. So I guess that makes sense. And they have good public transportation, unlike the U.S. over here, unfortunately, I will say.
Yes. Well, also because, in the U.S., more people probably have cars than people do in China, from what I understand. I think people rely more on the whole idea of having to, you know, use public transportation.
Yeah, but still, I would love to see some good public transportation, you know, over here. That would be nice, but you know, I'm not holding my breath.
Well, come on, you live in Southern California. I don't think you're going to find that there.
Yeah. Oh well, I mean, God, if we could get some good public transportation in the next 3 years before the Olympics come to town. Because that is going to be a disaster driving anywhere.
Right. Okay. So as of you know, as the woman was leaving and walking up the stairs, did you notice that there was a sign behind her?
I did not.
So there's a sign that says with an arrow pointing to the second floor mezzanine. Okay. Do you have any idea what a mezzanine is?
I mean, it's always one of those terms I've heard, but I've never actually like stopped to consider what is a mezzanine.
Okay, so a mezzanine is an intermediate floor in a building which is partially open to the double height ceiling floor below. So it's sort of a half floor type of thing. Stuff like that.
Right, because you always see that on like a cruise or something, and be like, ah, here's the mezzanine. All right, now I know what that
means.
Aren't
you on a cruise right now?
I am technically, yes, on a cruise at the moment of this release. I am checking out the glaciers in Alaska.
Okay, so maybe you're standing on the mezzanine and able right. to figure that out. And now when you're there and someone will say to you, hey, where's the mezzanine? You go, oh, well, you know, I even know what a mezzanine is.
I'll drop that knowledge on them. You know, it's a good thing. I was on this podcast.
That's right. There you go. You see, you're learning things that will be helpful to you when you're traveling around Alaska.
Yeah, if anybody asks me what's the world's longest subway system, I'll be ready for
it.
There
you go. Yeah. I also like the fact that you know, Garber is asked to give these four guys you know, a little tour of what's going on. He doesn't ask if they understand English. And
right,
you know, he just assumes that they understand everything he's saying. And you know, when he walks away and he realizes they're not paying any attention, in some ways maybe he's boring them. I don't know. It's a very strange way to look at this.
Right, and it's true, because I watching this, you're like, okay, here's some like Japanese diplomats. This is a movie in the 70s. Is this gonna hold up? You know, it's one of those things, and it's like gonna be like, you're wondering, is this gonna be kind of casually racist like a lot of films at the time were? And it seems more just like it's not like doing anything negative, but it's just like, oh, here's just some Japanese guys, you know, as window setting, as exposition dump, apparently.
Exactly.
You know, it seems like.
Yeah, because I mean, spoiler, after we leave them here, we never see them again. You know, you think that they would be bringing them back at some point. But I guess the point of having them here is to show what Garber's job really is.
Mm-hmm. And to just have him walk around and be like, here's this guy, here's this thing, here's this board over here. Are you getting all this audience?
Yeah, exactly. It is a clever way to do it. You know, there's no question.
Yeah, no, it's a good logical way to give us all this exposition and not have it feel like, you know, it's like, you know, out of character, right, or anything like that.
And that's all I have to say about this minute. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I was just going to say, this is like a nice clean minute, you know, because looking ahead to the next minute, there's like a couple seconds before it switches to nice, but I feel like I don't often get these minutes where it's like, here's just like a chunk. We get the whole kind of like story. It starts with him getting introduced to the Japanese businessman and kind of like walking this way. And then it very quickly in the next minute will cut to something else, which we'll talk about next time. But it feels like, hey, this was a good clean. We're getting introduced to these businessmen or these Japanese diplomats. And then we're getting introduced to really Walter Matthau here, who is arguably the main character of the movie.
Yeah. There's I don't think there's any argument there. He is the protagonist for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, I think Robert Shaw like is also just like, he's almost like a co-lead, yeah. I would say.
Well, again, it's they're pitted against each other here. So it's you know, the good guy and the bad guy type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Which is always good in these kind of like heisty, you know, whether it's like a bank heist or like where there's these two guys going against each other. And like I said, I love that when they don't meet to the end, but they're talking and you get finally that face to face. It always is such a payoff, but you're getting the one side of that.
Exactly.
Right here.
Perfect. All right. Speaking of Walter Matthau, so today's segment, every Monday's segment is Matthau Monday, where my guests will give their top five Walter Matthau performances. So, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
All right. So this was a little tough for me because I'm going to admit, you know, I'm not as, studied in Matthau. You know, I haven't seen a ton of his films. But I think one I did see when I was a kid that I really enjoyed was Grumpy Old Men, the first one. You know, that was a nice reteaming of him and Jack Lemmon. You love to see it. And I don't remember the movie super well, but I do remember enjoying it. I think it was funny when I was younger.
Okay.
And then number four, I got to go with Bad News Bears. You know, there's another one. I don't think I've actually ever sat down and watched it start to finish, but that's such a classic Matthau performance. You know, he's so iconic in that role that I had to at least mention it.
Okay.
And then am I allowed to use this movie in my rankings? All right, well, then I got to go with here, because this is my number three, is Taking a Pelham 1-2-3. I thought this was a really fun role of his. He's kind of got that, oh, yeah, well, here we go. You know, I'm hostage. He's doing his classic Matthau thing in this one. I think he's really good in it. Obviously, this is where we get introduced to him. And, you know, he's not doing a lot physically. He's just kind of talking on the phone, but he gets across so much with just, like, his voice and the dialogue and everything that in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I already mentioned him and Jack Lemmon. I can't mention him and Jack Lemmon without talking about The Odd Couple. That's obviously one of the great, you know, comedic duos of all time. That classic, you know, film from what it's the 60s, I want to say.
68, I believe.
There you go. Yeah. So, you know, that's an absolutely iconic performance of his. So I had to have it high on the list.
All right.
And then for me, for number one, I talked about, you know, how, you know, I'm a quote unquote 90s kid. And so for me, the number one, he's always going to be, whenever I see him, there's one role that I always think of. And that is Mr. Wilson from Dennis the Menace. He's the grumpy old man next door. I love, and that's a movie that I don't know if it would hold up if I went back to it as a kid. But I still can't help but see him in that role because I remember loving that movie when I was a kid. And he's the grumpy old neighbor. And I've obviously had read the Dennis the Menace comics. And he's just such a good embodiment of that character. It feels like a role that was almost written for him.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. Excellent. And every day we have a game called Name That Remake. So obviously, you know, as we talked about earlier today, this movie was remade twice. And so I made up a game where I will randomly choose a movie that was remade, from a list that I have a list of 100 and, I think 112 movies that were remade, and I will give you the years of the original movie and the remake, and I'll give you a brief synopsis, and you have to try and guess what movie we're talking about. Right,
All right,
so, and I'm
interesting. I
doing this
like this. I
randomly,
like
I have
this.
no idea, so I'm spinning the wheel, and let's see what movie comes out. Okay. All right. Trying to think of what's the best way to describe this movie without completely giving it away. Okay. The original movie came out in 1960, and it was remade in 1998. All right. And the brief description is a woman steals money from her boss, and while she's on the run, she stops off and in a small little town.
Psycho,
Excellent.
psycho.
Very good.
Yeah. I was like, all right, 1698. I was like, what could that be? And then you say a woman steals money. I'm like, oh, well,
Okay.
there we go.
All right. I didn't want to say.
You said a woman. For a second, I thought it might have been Sabrina. I was like trying to figure out what the exact years of
No,
those ones were. But then you said,
Sabrina
and then
was
you said,
54 and 90, 95.
Yeah, because I knew they were roughly around that time. But I was like, I
And I hope
don't
I'm
think
not giving
so.
away if
Yeah.
tomorrow or later in the week you get Sabrina.
Right.
Because again, I don't know what you're going to have, so
That's fair. That's fair.
so if so, I might have just given you a little bit of a hint, but who knows?
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how it
It'll actually
goes.
be interesting if that happens, since it really is completely
Yeah.
random. So, Derek, would you like to tell everyone where they can find Derek McGuff?
Yeah, you can find me on the Underrated Movie Podcast. However, you are listening to this, if you look up Underrated or Underrated Movie Podcast into your podcast player of choice, it should come right up. That is a show where every other Monday I talk about an underrated film. You can also just go to underratedmoviepodcast.com and it has the links to all that, including my Patreon and a bunch of other podcast stuff that I do. And you can also find me right now, as you said, in Alaska, because on
Are
a cruise
you
boat,
podcasting on the
because
cruise boat on the
that's where,
cruise? Okay.
you know what? I just might be. We'll see how it goes.
Right. Very cool. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieroundminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, chew.
Gesundheit.